Welcome to the Draw Doctors Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett and today we're talking all things Burn Man. Those guys that you're probably going to overdraft in your leagues next year and they are not going to return that value. Also, we are drafting all things Simpsons songs. I don't know why we haven't done this one before because there are absolutely some absolute rippers in this and a lot of good ones going to go undrafted. And to talk all things Burman and Simpson songs is the man from Western Victoria, Stevie Fears. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and you might notice I'm wearing a vest, so I'm feeling good about this draft. And the Burman, I can't wait. This is a great episode. I love it every year, and hopefully the people won't be drafting these people, Jono.
Oh, my guys, I certainly will not be touching them with a 10-foot pole. And we welcome you, Cam McLaughlin. Welcome to you.
Yeah, hey, guys, and that vest, is that a bit of a hint at what you're going to take in the first round there, Steve? Because I see it. I see it.
That's right. It's a Canyonero branded vest.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
Well, maybe you could borrow a feeling, Cam. All right, let's get into it. We are talking all things Burn Man. These are the guys that probably had a good year, but there's too much on there. There might be a role change, people coming to the club, where you're going to draft them a little bit too high and that value is not going to be returned. Cam, why don't you kick us off with your first Burman, please?
So I've managed to go a week, boys. I've gone one full week. Last week I said that I have a Cats player ban this preseason and I've lasted literally a week. But I figure it's probably okay because this is a Burn Man. I'm not hyping up a Cats player. My first Burn Man going into 2021 is Cam Guthrie. Guthrie had a career best year in 2020 and no one would have really seen it coming. I know in my league, he was passed around super early on a few trades as steak knives. And he usually is a waiver favorite. But he ended up averaging 103 Supercoach and the equivalent of 106 AFL Fantasy, which is, you know, over 22 points to his previous best effort, which was in 2015. So a pretty big margin on that one. He was ranked third in total disposals across the comp, 10th in total tackles, 6th in handballs, 12th in total marks, 15th in total kicks, 15th in another stat as well. Just a massive, massive, massive year. And just so much above his previous output that it isn't funny. I think, if you want to believe the narrative that I'm spitting about him being a Burn Man, you basically have to believe four different things. One, Danger will move back into the mid with Jeremy Cameron up front. Two, Cats are going to try and get more and more mid time into their youngsters. Three, Guthrie will regress after a career year. And four, Higgins and Smith inclusion may hurt and just completely change that dynamic around the ball. And I think what makes me buy into his Burn Man ability a bit more as well is that probably only one of those four things has to come off and he's going to regress. At the moment, he was ranked the 20th best mid and 24th best overall in AFL Fantasy. So it's pretty, and he's in the right age, like he's 28. So there is a narrative where someone could build and say he's going to continue, but I'm probably against that. And I reckon he's probably going to go in as an early third round pick, especially in AFL Fantasy. And I think that's too high for someone like him. In Supercoach, it's probably a little bit less of a Burn Man because he will probably slide a little bit further. But again, I still think with that 22 points differential to his next best and those four things I mentioned, that he's probably going to go back.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree that Cam Guthrie is a prime regression candidate. But where this is one of the things I like about this show, but it's also tough to balance out, is we haven't seen this history from Cam Guthrie. Cam Guthrie has got a good half dozen years of being steak knives in trades, of being a guy who gets a good role for 3 weeks and is usable before he's dropped back, much like probably Jed Anderson, who's probably also a prime candidate for regression. I have a hard time buying into the fact that people will draft him at where you're suggesting, Cam.
Yep.
Which I don't think is an unfair thing to say. And so maybe he doesn't need to do what he did this year, but he drops back a little bit to the point where he's not horrible value.
So I think even if he drops 10 points, for example, and 10 points is probably realistic, that takes him back to 95, still above his, you know, previous career best, and, you know, give him that little boost because he's in the right age bracket, I still think that's pretty significant. That probably drops him to more of a fifth, sixth, maybe seventh round pick.
I think that's where I honestly think the fifth round's more in line with where it'll go.
Yeah, okay.
So,
well, fair enough.
Not to be a Debbie Downer, but...
No, that's all right. It's a bit of a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, it is. It is. I like the pick. I can't see him repeating.
But, yeah, so where I came to with this was people that are informed and do their research will absolutely probably write it off as a 1 year. And people that are going in, they look at averages and they might do a day's research beforehand, probably might overdraft.
Yeah, that's really fair.
All right. My first burn man is going to continue on the Cats theme, and that's Sean Higgins. He's moved from North Melbourne this year. He averaged the 95 Supercoach and 76 AFL Fantasy, which worked out to be 91 AFL Fantasy if he played the proper year. He's taking over the Gary Ablett role. So when we saw Gary Ablett move back from the Gold Coast to Geelong, we saw him playing less midfield time, was playing that sort of medium forward role. And that's exactly what Sean Higgins is going to do. Now, when you look at Ablett's fantasy scores, when he started playing that role, his scores average just absolutely plummeted. He was losing about 10 to 12 Supercoach points per year, and it was in the 20s, about 25 to 28 in AFL fantasy points from when he came from Gold Coast to Geelong. So Higgins, I don't see anything maybe that drastic, but there is, I still think, going to be at least a 10-point drop, maybe even more from Sean Higgins, especially if he's going to be in a forward line with Jeremy Cameron and Tom Hawkins there. So he's not going to have as much opportunity to get the goals. And even if they do play danger as well, he's probably going to be that fourth, fifth stringer forward in that forward line. So probably not going to be as much opportunity for him to get a score. And look, he is competing with danger, as Cam said, Guthrie, Duncan, Selwood, Parfitt, and all these younger guys. So he probably will get one or two good scores. We will see that throughout the year, but I just don't see a consistent score like we saw this year from Sean Higgins.
Do you think, so I agree that he's a good one for Burnman, but do you think he's less cooked than Ablett was? Like, I feel like he's, even though he's maybe a little bit older than when Ablett went back to the Cats, I feel like Higgins is far less cooked.
Far less cooked. He'll be 33 next year, start of the season, but you know, he's there just to collect a paycheck, and he's going to be playing a role. Like, no doubt he's a talented player, but he's just playing a role for what is a 2-year deal, I think, there at the Cats. So,
I reckon he might be after a premiership more than just a paycheck.
Just, he's just there for quietly. A paycheck. And how well has
paycheck
that done for Geelong?
Higgins.
How's that gone for Geelong? You're getting these top-up players and getting their premiership. How's it worked out too well?
Well, devil's advocate, he's just come from North Melbourne.
There's upside. The grass is greener already, I suppose. But would the one saving grace for Higgins be if he potentially gets forward status? Would you have a nibble there?
Yeah, but you don't draft someone for forward status, do you?
No, isn't he absolutely a chance at defender status as well?
He did play a fair bit behind the ball. Yeah. So
I thought it was forward status. It was one or the other, yeah.
This is what's scary, is it feels like the season just finished, but we're about
2 weeks from Christmas.
Well, we're about a week and a half away from when we've traditionally gotten a healthy dose of information hit our email box about maybe where position players are lined up.
That's crazy, I know. And they're talking about the AFL draft and like, it's just crazy. It's been a crazy season. Like, the AFL draft is this week. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Steve, fire away with your first Burman, please.
Yeah, so my first Burman is Adam Treloar, a bit of an AFL fantasy superstar. His adjusted AFL fantasy average was 108 this year, 109 Supercoach. So just we know he's been a premium player for a number of years and a first-round talent. Moved across to the Western Bulldogs. And I think the interesting thing is, like, a lot of the conversation that I've seen on the socials has been about more about which Bulldogs missing out, like Bont goes forward, McRae goes to the wing, Dunkley's playing forward, etc., etc. And I actually think that the player who's going overlooked in terms of who's going to come back a little bit is Adam Treloar, because I think there's an easier path to him. I don't want to say failing, but not being the premium player that he is. And the reasons why, if you look at the two teams, like, what Adam Treloar does well, where he succeeds, is contested possessions and ground ball gets. Like that's his wheel bag. He's second in the league, contested possessions, first in the league, ground ball gets. And if you look at the teams, there's only one other Magpie in the top 25 in the league for contested possessions. Sorry, there's a midfielders. That's Taylor Adams versus three Western Bulldogs. And if you look at ground ball gets, there's three Bulldogs in the top 11 in the league for ground ball gets versus no Pies in the top 25. So already from an internal competition perspective, he's getting less of it.
So with the ground ball gets, the reason why Collingwood don't get it, is that just because they've got a dominant ruckman who just taps it straight to them and they don't have to fight for it?
Thanks, Johnny. You're killing me, you fucking moron. It's almost like you haven't done this show before.
No,
just let me get to the end of my point before you...
I thought you had finished. That's why, you know, hit the little right hand button there.
Before you energy... This hand button, we thought it was great. It's fucking terrible. The evidence is mounting up against the hand button. So, my other key point, the ruckman. You got Brody Grundy going at 8.7, hit outs to advantage. Tim English, Tenglish at 4.8. The hit out win rate, 51%. Brody Grundy, that's sixth in the league. 28% for Tim English, that's 40th in the league, or third worst, as you would like to call it. Tim English does have a slightly better hit out to advantage rate. So if he can take a massive leap forward in how often he actually wins the fucking thing in the ruck, he might be better. So you're going from a midfielder playing with a dominant ruckman to a midfielder playing with, you know, potentially Ling Jong in the ruck. And the other thing is actually injuries. I mean, Treloar's starting to get a bit nicked up, unfortunately. We don't like to predict injuries, but it's got to weigh into your decision. So Treloar's been a stalwart of the back of the first round, maybe even mid-first round a couple of years ago, to someone who's starting to get a bit of stank on him. Now I'm finished, Jono. Raise your hand.
Now I can raise my hand. Well, there was that little pause. I'm like, oh, there's my moment. That's where I'm going to ask my question. But no, I'm all off on anything Western Bulldogs this year. Midfielders. The only way you're going to entice me is if you get maybe a Treloar paired with a Libber. Because you know they're both injured and one of them's going to pop.
Man, Libber was sneaky good this year, hey?
Bloody oath he was.
Especially but with the again, forward status. Super good.
Again, he's got that little injury niggle history with him as well.
Two years removed from the last serious one.
But he has those little... He's had a couple of little foot things, and I don't like... As we know, we don't like the feet things. So, I'm passing all things Western Bulldogs midfielders. Cam, run us through your second Burnman, please.
Pretty quick one here. High jumping intercept defender does a PCL tear in his 30s. Jeremy Howe.
Eastonwood.
Jeremy Howe reeks of all sorts of risk to me. He goes into next year as the 21st best AFL fantasy player on average and 8th best in Supercoach. I think most people will be smart enough, like most people that listen to this are going to be smart enough to see that that's a bit of an outlier. Again, he only played the 4 games And although it was shaping up to be a bit of a career year for him until he got injured, I just don't think he would have maintained the form that he came in with over the course of the journey of the year. He's never done it before, and it's hard to see why he would have at the age of 30. Can he still be Steve? No. Steve?
Put, I'll Steve, let you finish.
You let me finish? Put the hand down.
There it goes. There it goes.
Oh, my God. No, come on. I want to see what you can go. You got it. You got the floor.
No. You go. You finish, and then I'll do my thing.
Oh man, can he still be good? Yes. Is he a top 5 or 10 or even 15 defender next year? Probably not. And you probably have to draft him in, you know, the top 10 defenders. So yeah, bit of a burn, man. Wait, the hand's back up.
There we go.
I see you.
I'm just going to say this.
Put your hand back down. It's weird talking with your hand up.
What's going on with Skype? We were talking about this before. They've added this raise hand thing, and it's just...
It's causing all havoc. It's all
over. Yeah, the pod's over. We're going to have to stop. you ranked Jake Lloyd number one defender, overall, on the back of the new man on the mark rule. Jeremy Howe seems like a good candidate to be a switch player. Shouldn't he be good?
And no, he just hasn't done it. I don't buy it, sorry.
Well, with Howe's injury, we saw Maynard pop up. Do they use Maynard and Crisp as those two switching defenders, running defenders, where Howe maybe defends a bit more?
But Maynard could go through the midfield more. Or Crisp.
Either, yeah.
But yeah, I just don't buy how maintaining... Like, I didn't even think he'd maintain it this year. There's no way he's maintaining it through next year. I don't buy it.
It's a very small sample size.
Exactly.
I was thinking it's hypocritical, Cam.
What? Put your hand down.
Wait, is it up?
No, it's not. No. Now it's up. Put it back down.
There has to be something where we can just get rid of this fucking thing. All right. My second burn man is Scotty Lysette. We all ranked him pretty highly this year, and with good reason. He was the solo ruckman there at Port Adelaide. Averaged the 97 Supercoach, 66 AFL Fantasy. And that was until he got injured, and it was Peter Laddams' season for about 5 or 6 weeks. Laddams came in, absolutely crushed it, and Ken Hinckley and co thought, well, bugger it, he's played so well, we're just going to leave him in the side. It did affect Laddams' Lysette scores a little bit. Laddams was playing a bit more forward ruck than ruck forward. And then at the end of the 2020 season, Port have gone and got Aaliyah into the team as well. So we have seen him pinch hit as a ruckman as well at times. And with the new rucking rules, we might just see it with Aaliyah playing as the defensive ruckman, Laddams as the forward ruckman, and Scotty Lysette is playing in between the arcs and only taking the contest there. So if he's not getting to as many ruck contests, chance of possessions, hit outs all go down, scores all go down. And I really don't think, I don't want any part of him if that's the case, especially got three guys like that. And if Aaliyah is going to be playing maybe a Westhoff type role, just roaming, taking contests here and there. So no Lysette for me, and he will burn you big time. Like, we all had him ranked 5 and 6 last year in both formats.
Yeah, it was a good one. Whatever you just said was really good.
Yeah, you remember when they paused Homer's face in that episode where he grabs the gummy Venus de Milo?
Sweet.
That's what your face was like just then.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, when you put all the files together, you'll hear some sweet, sweet Scott Lysette.
It's happening again. It's happening again. I think you're drawing a long bow on the... where did he finish? Where did Scott Lysette even finish?
I didn't see it. I didn't actually... Can't remember. Didn't write it down.
Didn't research it. Didn't even look.
I looked, but I didn't look at that information. It would have been top 10.
It's pretty key. Yeah, but if he was like 9th, then no one's drafting him.
Oh, no, it was like 6th, 7th.
Yeah, okay.
But there was like Scott, there was Witts, there was like 4 or 5 ruckmen within 0.2 of an average of each other between 5 and 8.
Yeah. My second burn man is the Tomahawk. The Tomahawk, who might even be the Supercoach number one ruck forward coming into the year. He's definitely going to be a top, I don't know, 5-10 forward in AFL fantasy once all the player positions are sorted out. So, prime burn man. We don't have the position list, so we don't actually know where he'll be listed, but coming in pretty hot. It's his best ever Supercoach average. It's his best ever Dream Team average. That adjusted average is 88.5 Dream Team. The dude's 32. Jeremy Cameron's come into the team. Historically, when two gun key forwards are together, it is hard to maintain this average. The most recent example is Tom Lynch and Jack Riewoldt. They both went to absolute shit for fantasy despite them winning premiership medals. Like all the Tigers fans will tell me, they're the greatest. Not great for fantasy, aside from, you know, streaming. So when the problem is when the key forwards miss, they fall off a cliff. This isn't like, say, like, your midfielder drops 10 points and that slides them, might slide them 20, you know, from the M20 to the M40 because the mids are so tightly grouped. When the key forwards miss, they miss big. Tom Hawkins in the previously 95 Supercoach down to 66, 101 Supercoach down to 85. They are massive drops. They're not, that sort of becomes, are you even rosterable? So I'm really cagey on Tom Hawkins. Based on his average in Supercoach, he'll probably be going in at the top of the third round, maybe even the back of the second. Definitely a third rounder. AFL Fantasy, without the positions, it's hard to say, but he'll probably be in that, I'd say, 4-5 mix. I'm really cagey. Geelong do seem like good bets to be good again, which is obviously the upshoot. But I think he's going to be parked inside the forward 50. Jeremy Cameron's going to be the guy hitting it up on the lead. So I'm just completely about it. And the interesting thing is, Jeremy, so if you're an AFL fantasy player, that's more Jeremy Cameron's game. Despite him absolutely shitting the bed this year, over the last four seasons, their average is identical.
Oh, wow.
When I say identical, it's like 0.2 different. But
yeah, wow.
Tom Hawkins, clearly the superior Supercoach player, though.
Scott Lysett, the eighth best average ruckman.
Yeah, he's not burning anyone. Not when you got Proust season.
Burning your fucking hell. There's a burn right there. That's just going to...
Proust.
Someone is going to overdraft Proust on the back of Steve's hype, and they're just going to be fucking burning flames.
I don't see how it can be an overdraft. Pick one. Boom. He's going to return value.
Steve's just got so much form. He's got so much form drafting and picking ruck breakouts, hasn't he, Steve? Sean Darcy says hello.
He's Western Victorian. He's a great man.
All right. We are now going to roll into the Simpsons songs draft now. Got the number generator ready. All right. So, Cam, you are going to be pick 3.
Ooh, I'll take that. It's good.
Come on, Steve. Liberty Bell.
Pick 2 for Steve.
You hate to see it.
But you would like to see my vest if I was wearing one.
Yeah.
Pick one.
How's your vest now, Steve?
Has Jono picked? Did I hear spring in Springfield?
Oh, it's a sleeper. That is. I'm more of a Springfield kind of guy.
So Jono's gone vest. I feel like pick 2 was the pick I didn't want.
Me too. It's hard.
Yeah.
You can guess. Yeah.
I'm going to take Dr. Zaius.
Damn it, Steve. I was hoping for a good rap. That would have been amazing.
Well, it was obviously going to be. There was two picks there.
Yeah.
There was two picks there.
Yeah. So I'll take the monorail.
Yeah.
And
I think this is the interesting pick.
I'll follow that up with Canyon Arrow.
Interesting.
Wow.
It's not coming back to me, so.
Unexplained fires are a matter for the courts.
They are.
How good is that? You know what the best part of that is? Like, it starts plowing the deer And then there's this just the silhouette of it and the deer just flying over the back of the car. That's good. I'm going to take the Stonecutters song.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. That is a good one. Okay, well, that will leave me with Talkin' Softball.
I feel like that's a great... I mean, they're all so good.
I don't know if it's third round, but I'm going to take it. The Union Strike song.
Oh, dude.
Eey, that feels like a miss.
I'm talking Classical Gas here, not that other Union Strike song.
Well, you don't get Classical Gas.
When I worked at the Melbourne Cup one year, there was one guy busking out the front of the one gate, and the only song he played all day was Classical Gas. Guy walked out with a suitcase full of money every single...
It's a great song. So wait, you're taking are you taking Classical Gas?
No, I'll take Union Strike song. I like it.
I'd probably take Classical Gas.
Yeah.
God damn. I'm going to take When I Was 17.
Mm-hmm.
You don't seem thrilled with that pick, Cam.
Oh, I was going to probably take that. I think it's a really good pick.
He drank some very fine beer, Cam.
He did.
His name was Brian McGee.
He stayed up listening to Queen.
That's right.
Yes. So I'm probably going to take... And I feel like this song is... way better with the bit that Marge does straight after it, but we put the spring in Springfield.
Yeah, it's a solid pick.
And I'll round out mine with the Garbage Man.
Yeah.
Garbage Man King.
My next pick, I never saw it on a list. But I immediately thought of it as one of my top picks. But I felt because it wasn't on any of the list, I'd get it in the fourth. But it's from my second favorite episode. That's the Glove Slap.
Oh, yeah. Glove Slap, baby. Because
it's from the Tamako.
Yeah.
The he demands satisfaction. But it wasn't on any lists.
I did not see it on any lists.
That is against your general strategy for drafting.
It's the Tamako episode. It's so funny.
It is a good episode.
The tractor just continually falling over.
Yeah.
He demands satisfaction. Honk if you demand satisfaction.
I've missed a ripper.
I'm going to go with Checking In.
Oh, that's a good song.
That's my final one.
I can't believe I'm so devo that I didn't take Can I Borrow a Feeling, though. I completely forgot it was there. It's such a good
of a song.
It is. It's not that great.
Kirk Van Houten
is amazing. I was either going to go Checking In or the Simpson, Homer Simpson, the one to the Flintstones. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
The opening credit?
Yeah.
Mr. Plough, Whacking Day.
Sideshow Bob sings HMS Pinafore.
What was the one? Was it Mediocre Presidents or the one that Presidents Forgot?
It wasn't funny at all. I watched it. I'm like, this is terrible. The only other one I had was Be a Jedi.
Nah, that was shit.
Oh.
Eh.
Yeah. What about I don't know. Seats there. Garden of Eden.
The one I did like, but I didn't think it'd get any votes, was the Flaming Moe's one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I like the Everybody Hates Ned Flanders one.
No, I don't like that.
You didn't like the song?
Happy Birthday by the Ramones.
pretty good. That's awesome.
Go to hell, you old bastard. Man, I'm so glad no one went the Happy Birthday, Lisa. No, Happy Birthday, Lisa. Glad no one went with that one.
Oh, God, no.
No one was going that.
Oh, actually, mine Bratwurst.
The funniest is, like, you know how, like, you post the poll on Twitter and everyone's like, oh, how did you miss blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, well, every fucking week someone likes something that missed. And there was the dude who, like, in the sporting draft, and he goes, oh, I'll hit the waivers. And it was like, I chose cricket and tennis and the Olympics.
It's
like, they are all the shittest things you could possibly fucking want to sit at, mate. Like, fuck off. Just about blocked him for that. That was a terrible take.
Have we blocked anyone?
No, we've never blocked anyone.
I love that that was so bad that that was going to be the first. It's the most offensive thing.
There's been a few people who have been close, but... Yeah, and then it was like, oh, no, the Wimbledon final, man. The Wimbledon final. Oh, that's the GOAT. I want to sit there for 7 hours and watch people hit a ball back and forth. To me, that's entertaining.
Yeah, not my cup of tea.
Wearing all white, mind you.
Do you want to run us through our picks?
The teams? Yep. Yeah, so, Jono, you've got See My Vest, Talking Softball, the Union Song. Jeez, Jono... You started off so hot.
I know. I'm reaching here. I'm going for some reach.
It's going downhill with checking in. I've got Dr. Zayas, We Do, When I Was 17, and the Glove Slap. Clearly the superior lineup. Cam's rounded it off with Monorail, Canyon Arrow, Spring into Springfield, and Garbage Man. Actually, that's a pretty solid lineup too. Jono, you're losing this. Yeah, despite having Seen My Vest.
I think Seen My Vest carries the team.
It could do. It might do. The problem is you've gone for a Lisa song. Lisa is a bad character. No one likes Lisa.
That is true.
No one likes Lisa. Monorail. 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 You know it's coming through. It's so good.
Look, well, the humans are out to escape. That's all I'm going to say.
I was really praying that I was going to get Monorail and that in the rap. Would have been amazing.
It's clearly never happening.
I thought you'd do some flog move and take Spring in Springfield at one. I was like, it's pretty good.
No.
Okay.
All right. Let's wrap this baby up. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter and Facebook. Just search The Draft Doctors there. If you've got any ideas for ISO drafts, freedom drafts, send them through.
What?
Oh, the hand.
We have a late raised hand. We have a late raised hand.
Look, we have floated the idea of a live draft to the people, to the 6.9 people who are still listening to the show.
I just got an update on those 6.9. I think we're down to 5.9. I don't think Mickey's listening at the moment.
Who can blame him? Who can blame him? So we are floating the idea. If you want to be in Melbourne, it'd be mid-February. Hit us up, email, socials, whatever. We're around. So we are certainly floating the idea of a live draft. It'll involve some sort of lottery / raffle, possibly, if there's enough interest. But you know, whatever.
Cool. There it is. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Put your damn hand down, Steve.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.